everybody. Welcome to another edition of our favorite show, Flash Fried.
This is the emotion that plays out inside of me when it's Flash Fried Day.
I love it.
I'm going for a sense of like
goblin,
terrified bemusement.
Goblin.
Goblin. That looks like terrified bemusement.
Dude, I guess Paul is kind of like a goblin, dude.
Yeah, I'm fine with it. Dude, I'd rather look like a goblin than any number of other things. You know what I mean? Goblins are pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, I mean, they are pretty cool. I mean, I'm not even saying it as an insult to you. I'm just saying, like from that angle, like what Hollywood's led me to believe a goblin looks like, you kind of look like a goblin.
Goblin gang.
But only from that. Like, I mean, you're fairly tall, so right. you don't have that.
Well, I'm the tallest goblin.
Yeah,
the giant goblin.
Yeah, dude. Sounds like a Disney movie.
The giant goblin.
Oh. Disney Pixar presents A Tale of Fitting In, The Giant Goblin.
Look at him, he's fucking huge! Get out of here, you giant goblin!
Oh, come on, guys, I just want to fit in.
A lot of your movie concepts seem to feature retarded characters.
Well, yeah, I mean, think about it. Like, how underrepresented is the retarded character in film?
Mm. Pretty underrepresented.
They don't really get a whole... There's a lot of retarded people, but they don't really get a lot of representation on the silver screen.
And usually it's like some sappy, sentimental kind of like...
What was that movie? I Am Sam?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the first one was that show back in the 80s. What was that show called that had...
I don't know.
It had a Down syndrome kid in it named Corky.
Oh, I don't know.
I've never seen it.
And it was like, that was the show. The show was the family of a Down syndrome kid and all the wacky things he got into.
Crippled?
Down syndrome kid.
I don't think he was crippled. He wasn't crippled
as well.
They
didn't go far enough. All right. So we got a lot of stories. Let's get to them.
Dude, I got to find out. Fuck that. I got to find out what TV right. show
got,
this was.
I
all
got,
right.
I got
fine.
To know.
We'll wait a second.
Let's see. Corky. 80s. Yeah, Corky 80s show.
Was he fucking crippled or not?
Life Goes On. Yeah, that's right. It started out with oh blah da, life goes on, bro. And it was about a retarded kid. Television's first drama series built around a mentally challenged character, Life Goes On chronicles the experience of the Thatcher family, particularly Corky, who has Down syndrome.
Okay, here it is.
Here.
That's the opening. It's like a fucking Beatles song. We can't play that.
All right.
Oh, it is?
Okay. Yeah, it's Obladee, Oblada, Life Goes On. Whoa, da, da, da. That's a Beatles song.
Right. I wasn't aware of that.
You gotta find a clip from it. Just find a clip from Life
Corky.
Goes On.
All right, let me see.
I remember Life this being, this was
goes
a big show.
On clip.
And literally, like, back in the 80s, Corky, you would call your friends that. It was, like, synonymous with retard if you called your friend a Corky.
This is Corky Fights the Power.
Fight the power.
Oh, excuse me. Hi, Cork.
Hi, Becca.
I'm really glad you showed up. I mean, things have been kind of weird between us.
I know.
I'm ready to do our old number. I still know my part.
I'm sorry, Becca. I'm doing a different song. And you're not in it.
Damn.
Oh, shit. Woo! Dude. Corky's fucking lowing down.
Really pussy pass denied.
It's all boring anyway, right?
Throwing
I
down.
I have less pivot than you.
Dude. Yeah, this show,
I
man.
Am out of your league.
I can't believe we reached a point where this show, just like people are surprised that this show exists.
Yeah. Well, we've reached it because I never even heard of this.
Look how woke we were back in the 80s.
Dude, is Corky gonna dance?
There were like how many seasons of this fucking show?
Dude,
were there?
Corky's gonna dance. Let's.
All right. Well, that's another copyrighted.
Yeah, so we can't play
song.
That. But yeah, we get to see a second of it. At least.
He's fighting the power, though. That's cool. You know, fuck the power, man. Power is fucking.
He does not appear
wrong.
To be crippled, though. Like he's walking fine. It seems.
Yeah. Well, so. We know he's not crippled because they weren't that woke.
Okay. Well,
this aired from September 12th, 1989,
mm-hmm.
and moved channels a few times, but went till 1998.
Whoa.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Okay. I had no idea.
I guess someone had a real boner.
That must
for
have
that show.
Flew under my fucking radar. Anyway, Man was popping off rounds to celebrate New Year's Day when he fatally shot girlfriend, Cleveland police say.
Oh my
say.
God, who could have predicted such a series of events to occur?
Moron. Illegal celebratory gunfire turned deadly, shocking, just after midnight on New Year's Day, according to Cleveland police.
Do these people literally not know the principle of what goes up must come down? Like, I don't understand these celebratory gun-firing people.
Detectives are investigating the death of a 31-year-old woman who was shot in the 5900 block of Merrill Avenue. Officers responded just after midnight on New Year's Day and found the woman with a gunshot wound. She later died at Metro Health Hospital. While investigating, police learned the victim's 38-year-old boyfriend was popping off rounds to celebrate the start of 2020. At some point, the woman was shot. Police arrested the suspect at the scene. His name has not been released at this time. Homicide detectives are continuing to investigate the incident. The Merrill Avenue shooting is one of 11 shootings that occurred in a 9-hour time span on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. A total of 13 people were shot.
Yeah, let me help with this investigation. He's guilty. Take his guns and throw him in jail for fucking
woo-hoo,
manslaughter.
New Year's Eve! Pop, 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 pop. Oh, I shot my girlfriend. Oh, no!
Like, how did that happen?
Like, what the fuck, dude? Don't fire a gun indiscriminately.
I can't believe that when I was drunkenly firing my gun randomly around, I shot my girlfriend.
Dude, what is it around here with hillbillies setting off fucking fireworks, like, bookending every firework holiday?
Yeah.
Like, it's not just like, dude, for fucking New Year's and shit, there were fireworks before Christmas going off.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah,
it's just like,
pretty much the,
what is that? Like, you don't get tired of shooting off fireworks?
No. Pretty much the 2 weeks before New Year's and the week or so after.
Why is that? What is that?
I mean, like, I want you to think about that, too. That means that, like, the rednecks are kind of evolving because They're literally, like, saving fireworks. Like, nah, let's not set these off now. Let's wait and set them off slowly throughout the course of the next week or so.
Well, there's places that, like, I think are maybe an hour away from it. You can buy fireworks year-round. And a lot of people do go to those places just so they can have shit to blow up. For, like, let's say the Saints are playing or LSU is playing.
I just don't understand it. Like, for me, the reason fireworks are cool is because I only see them once in a while.
Yeah, you see them on July 4th and on New Year's,
like,
right?
on December 22nd, if somebody was like, hey, we're going to set off a bunch of fireworks, I'd be like, cool. And then December 23rd, when they were like, hey, we're going to set off a bunch of fireworks, I'd be like, you know, I think I'm just going to chill.
I saw that yesterday.
Yeah,
I'm good.
We just did that, didn't
we? I got my firework quota.
And it goes beyond that. It's like, oh, the 24th, the 25th, the 26th, the 27th, the 28th, you know what we're doing today? Setting off fireworks. It's like, what are you doing?
What are you just perpetually?
But you know
15?
What? I'd fucking rather they do it
than this. Yeah. At least they're not doing this.
These Child morons like that act like fucking Saudi Arabian soldiers or whatever, shooting their fucking rifles off in the air and shit. Every year there's a story about somebody that gets accidentally domed at one of these things. And yep. It's just like, what a waste.
And, you know, sometimes it's not even like, it sounds like this woman, like, he wasn't even firing in the air. Like, he just shot her directly.
TJ, you're going to take that from Paul, dude?
What?
Gonna fucking impugn the honor of fucking people in the South, their right to blow shit up. You got a problem with blowing shit up, Paul? Well, yes. You know what I got suggested for you. Come take it from me, Paul. Come take the fireworks away from me, Paul.
I'm not
from
interested.
Because you know what?
Dead I'm just hand. Bored for you.
Because you know what, Paul? Then I got my Second Amendment rights gonna come into play, Paul. Try to take my fireworks. You have to take my guns too, Paul.
We're gonna set off some exploding.
We're gonna blow shit up
because there ain't nothing else to do around here, Bogalusi.
That may be so, Paul.
We're going on.
But at least we can have some fireworks to look at this night sky, and make it more beautiful.
Oh, Cletus Hemsworth setting off fireworks for the 18th consecutive day. Y'all want to get a 6-pack of Pabst Blue Ribbon and head on down over there and watch Cletus and fireworks again tonight?
It's like, no.
Sounds like a hell of a time.
It's not.
It is, man. You guys are lying.
Hey, check this out, Scotty. Florida man wakes to find a stranger sucking his toes.
Did he, like, bust the nut instantly?
I love this, dude.
A Florida man. Florida man. Florida man.
Of course it's a Florida man.
Had an unusual visitor on Christmas Eve. One who had toes, not toes, on his mind.
All right, HuffPost.
Yeah, okay. The unnamed victim said he woke up and discovered his toes were being sucked by a stranger, according to Orlando station WKMG-TV. Even more disturbing, when the victim asked his visitor what was going on, the man said he was there to suck toes.
I'm just here to suck toes.
According to the Manatee County Sheriff's Department.
What, which county?
Manatee County.
What the fuck is up with Manatee County lately, dude? They got some crazy shit going on.
Yeah, stay out of Manatee County, because apparently that's where all the crazy bullshit goes.
Here's my thing. How is that more disturbing? You know what I mean?
Dude, remember we had the story?
I don't think the fact that he said he was there to suck toes is more disturbing than the fact that he actually was.
Hey, Nicolas Cage woke up with the guy eating the popsicle in his house. Remember that?
Yeah.
I mean, so that's happened. But, you know, dude, Manatee County last week, I think, or the week before, was the 70-year-old grandma that got tased.
Yep. The victim fought back, only to have the alleged toe sucker attempt to grab the victim's genitals before claiming he had a gun, according to Bradenton Herald. The victim, who never saw the gun, managed to force the suspect out of his home. The accused toe sucker then smashed a window in the home and destroyed the victim's car windshield before getting away on foot.
It's a pretty expensive proposition. I think if I ever wake up and somebody's sucking my toes, I'm just going to pretend to be asleep.
Although police took DNA swab from the victim's toes and used a police dog to try to track down the suspect, no one has been arrested, according to the Orlando
Weekly.
So
there's a toe sucker loose in fucking Florida that breaks into your house and sucks your toes at night.
There's a toe sucker loose down there in Manatee County.
I wonder if there's like a bunch of people in Manatee County that he's successfully just sucked their toes while they're asleep, and they never know that the toe sucker is visited.
That's true. They just wake up in the morning like, my toes feel kind of sticky and wet.
I'm going to take a shower. My toes were sweating something fierce last night.
I wonder if the toe sucker has ever, like, criticized a victim. Like, you know, he comes up and he's sucking the toes, and the victim wakes up. He's like, you know, your toes are nasty.
It's disgusting toes.
You need to fucking work on your foot hygiene. This
trim
is
those
gross.
Toenails.
I have a feeling that none of us have to worry about
it's
this.
It's people though. Like you who make this job disgusting.
Dude, if someone looks at my toes or Paul's toes or TJ's toes, they're going to be like, nope, I ain't doing
speak
it.
Speak for yourself. I got the most suckable toes on the planet.
Yeah, let's see them then.
Each toe is like a little lollipop that begs to be sucked.
Please, kill another Paldo.
Man chokes girlfriend after she claimed his fart smelled horrible.
Damn,
said.
He's sensitive about it.
That's a disproportional reaction, damn.
Let's see, I think there's a video. Let's see if it'll play.
There's not a video of him actually
choking her,
though.
Allegedly choking and headbutting his girlfriend after she made a comment about his flatulence. 41-year-old Christopher Ragsdale was arrested Sunday after police say officers were called just before 2 p.m. for a disturbance in the 3500.
The news needs to just get comfortable saying the word fart.
Flatulence.
They got this euphemism shit, flatulence, past gas. It's a fart.
Do you imagine how much ass you would have to beat personally, TJ, if you took this tact of like beating anybody that tells you your farts stink?
Yeah, I don't really get it, because like if someone is disturbed by the smell of my farts, I'm just happy about it. I'm like, hey, sucker,
dude. You know what I learned last night?
What's that?
This makes me want to do a fucking DFF on him. God damn it. I'm brain farting as fucking Marlon Brando.
Yeah, Marlon Brando.
He loved farts as much as I do.
Cool.
He brought like an electronic whoopee cushion onto the scene of one of his movies and like tormented the whole crew with fake farts through the whole thing. And then when somebody asked him why he was doing it, why he loved farts so much, he was like, because it's the most antisocial thing you can do without going to jail.
Yeah, this guy needs to learn to take pride in his farts instead of getting all, you know.
He had to be like, damn straight, it stinks. Hell yeah.
In her fucking defense, I mean, I'm pretty sure the fart did smell horrible.
Marinating
when officers arrived, they say they found the victim sitting on her friend's couch who said Ragsdale passed gas and she told him it smelled horrible. She says that's when Ragsdale grabbed her by the hair and threw her down on the ground before sitting her back up and choking her.
Well,
she went on to...
If they stay together, I bet she never comments on another fart again.
Yeah, she learned her lesson.
Yeah, that's not a lesson you got to teach twice.
Don't ever fucking say my farts stink again. Yes. My fart smells like a fucking rose.
And if he was at like a get together or something, I bet everybody this dude knows now never says anything to him about farts. So
accomplish
that.
That's old sweet fart over there.
Look at the fucking news thing. Silent but deadly weapon.
Mm-hmm.
Boy.
What the hell, dude?
Yeah. Georgia man cooks food and takes nap during Taco Bell break-in.
Who's tired, man?
I think there's looks like there's security footage here. So this dude is like, goes to the Taco Bell. He sees it's not fucking open. He's like, God damn it.
This dude's high as fuck on something.
Dude, he's hungry.
Yeah, he is. He's like, man, I want some fucking Taco Bell. Fuck this is bullshit.
Taco Bell being closed.
Damn, let me in this Taco Bell, God damn it.
That was super easy to get into. I mean, like, he just went over to the fucking drive-thru, went down and opened it.
He's like, yeah, man, I'm going to make me some tacos.
He's just chilling in there.
I love how nonchalant he is. Just like, yeah, whatever.
He's just like, yeah, okay.
Gonna make me some tacos.
He knows how to do it, too. He might have worked there in the past.
Yeah, this is definitely an ex-Taco Bell employee here.
Yeah, he knew what was what.
He knows exactly what to do.
Yeah, he does.
Gets all his food done. And then, like, after you eat, like, all the Taco Bell you can fucking cook, of course you're gonna get a little sleepy.
I mean, I will say for a criminal, I mean, obviously it's not good he did this, but I mean, he didn't really destroy the building or anything. There's people that go in and totally trash these places.
Crime, that was a cash reward.
And he got away with it, man.
I mean, someone's going to fall. I mean, you can see the guy's face pretty clearly. Someone's going to
fall. Man, I think he's innocent, dude.
Cash reward for this guy? What do you even do? Like,
it's
I understand.
Taco Bell.
I understand he broke the law, but like, was anyone harmed in this? No.
Yeah, give him like a fucking fine or something if he even does get in trouble.
This guy deserves a slap on the wrist at most. I mean, if anything, this is funny to me.
There's no like burglar alarm or anything.
I know. I guess not,
because he had fucking time for days inside of this store.
He took a fucking nap.
Aren't they worried that this is just, like, telling people...
Oh, wait, he stole a laptop and tablet before leaving.
Oh, okay.
No, never mind, dude.
Fair enough, then.
I mean, whatever. It's a fucking Taco Bell laptop and tablet.
Yeah, how much is it really worth? Yeah, but, let's, I wanted to, you know, it'd be cool if every story was just, like, you know, angry farters and,
People breaking in
people
Taco
breaking
Bell.
In Taco I mean, Bell.
Taking naps.
And toe suckers and whatever this one was. Oh, well, I guess that's kind of bad.
No,
but,
yeah, let's not have that.
But, I mean, it's kind of bad to choke your girlfriend over her saying your farts stink, too. But there's an element of comedy to it. This story, though, not much comedy. Just a lot of confusion. So let's take a look at Donald Trump's speech today. He gave it at about 10:20-ish this morning.
I just want to say, look at this shot right here, dude. This is like God descending from heaven. Look at that light.
Oh, President Trump.
President Trump.
I'm ready, dude.
More attacks unless there is a counterattack from the United States.
Richard, we're going to have to move back to the
Richard.
White House. The president.
Yeah, Richard, no one gives a shit.
At the podium.
As long as I'm president of the United States, Iran will never be allowed to have a nuclear weapon. Good morning.
Should the good morning be the beginning? They will never have a nuclear weapon. Oh, good morning.
By the way, good morning.
How you doing?
Hope everyone's feeling good.
Pleased to inform you, the American people should be extremely...
The American.
Why is Trump out of breath?
Does he even know where he is at this point?
The American.
Does he even know what he's doing?
You in the White House, baby. You gonna die. I ain't saying that, dude. I ain't gonna be freaking crucified.
Grateful and happy. No Americans were harmed in last night's attack by the Iranian regime. We
what
suffered
is this?
No casualties. All of our soldiers
He's short
are
of breath.
Yeah, he's very short.
He's short of breath walking up to a podium. Oh, dude. Sick Trump. Grandpa Trump is sick, dude.
Good morning. Oh, jeez.
Man, that's what you get when you eat fucking nothing but fast food and well-done steaks with ketchup and fries and all the trimmings.
And only minimal damage was sustained at our military bases. Our great American forces are prepared for anything. Iran appears to be standing down, which is a good thing for all parties concerned and a very good thing for the world. No American or Iraqi lives were lost because of the precautions taken, the dispersal of forces.
I like the military dude on the right. He keeps looking like, is that actually the president?
System.
Yep. That's still the president.
There's something wrong with him.
Yeah, there is. And so I want to point out right at this point, he just talked about how no troops were hurt because of an early warning system. Do you guys want to know what that early warning system is? The early warning system is the Iranian government told the Iraqi government, hey, we're going to attack these places at this time. knowing full well the Iraqi government is going to share that information with the U.S. government. So basically,
they gave us a heads up.
Yeah, the Iranians knew they had to do something in retaliation, but they didn't want to escalate the conflict. So their solution was, we're going to attack, but we're going to tell you where we're going to attack.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
in advance, so that you could clear everybody out.
That's really not much of an attack.
So basically, the Iranian government did as little as they possibly could to retaliate against this. There's not some incredible American early warning system that lets them know, like, missiles on the way. Iran literally fucking told us. And that's why he says in this speech, it looks like Iran
Damn,
is standing
TJ,
down.
Why don't you defend a theocracy a little bit harder, man?
Well, either way, I'm defending a fucking theocracy at this point.
How dare you say that, TJ?
Every time they trot Trump out for one of these speeches, I always look at the people behind him, and they always look so fucking deathly afraid that he's going to say something retarded that yes. they, by implication, are going to have to fucking defend.
Especially that
standing
dude
there with him.
Especially that general back there with those huge fucking eyebrows.
Yeah, man. He's got caterpillars.
Trump.
That worked very well. I salute the incredible skill and courage of America's men and women in uniform for far too long, all the way back to 1979, to be exact. Nations have tolerated Iran's destructive and destabilizing behavior in the Middle East and beyond.
Like he literally sounds like he's about to pass out in the middle of this.
Oh, man.
Like, is he on downers or something?
I don't know what the I don't know what's going on.
What is that? They give him his lithium drip. So you go out there and address the American people. Oh, we gotta have a more fucking subdued Trump. Give me a shot.
Dear American people, 1971 to be exact. And then
it's like, what is he? When are we going to admit that there's something terribly wrong at the head of our country now?
Nothing's wrong with our country. Everything's fine. Don't worry.
We're
stronger than ever, Paul. We're stronger than ever.
Those days are over. Iran has been the leading sponsor of terrorism, and their pursuit of nuclear weapons threatens the civilized world. We will never let that happen. Last week, we took decisive action to stop a ruthless terrorist from threatening American lives. At my direction, the United States military eliminated the world's top terrorist.
Terrorist.
Top terrorist.
A terrorist.
Oh, top terrorist.
Can I get Trump like an oxygen mask?
What the fuck?
In between each sentence? Terrorist.
Somebody get Grandpa his oxygen.
Yeah, dude, Trump's fucking winded.
Get him a fucking chair to sit in or something. What the fuck are we doing?
Qasem Soleimani. As the head of the Quds Force, Soleimani was personally responsible for some of the absolutely worst atrocities. He trained terrorist armies, including Hezbollah, launching terrorist strikes against civilian targets. He fueled bloody civil wars all across the region.
That's something we've never done, by the way.
No.
We've never done that. That was
America.
Soleimani that did that.
Yeah, Soleimani acted alone to fuel American war or fuel giant wars across the region. Yeah.
So basically, I just want to point out here that the Quds Force, which is Soleimani was the head of, is basically one of their principal goals is to go around and create these little proxy armies for Iran.
Sure.
And, you know, that's not good, and proxy war is horrible, but we engage in that on a scale that Iran could only dream of.
What? No.
And our presence in the region is part of that.
Oh, yeah.
The reason there are American bases in Iraq for Iran to launch pre-warned missiles at is partially because we're engaged in proxy wars.
No, that's the spread freedom and democracy.
Freedom!
He viciously wounded and murdered thousands of U.S. troops, including the planting of roadside bombs that maim and dismember their victims.
Terrible.
Soleimani directed the recent
like
attacks on U.S.
that.
Personnel in Iraq that badly wounded four service members and killed one American and he orchestrated the violent assault on the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad.
Yeah,
there's very little evidence of any of that. He may or may not have been involved in those things. They don't actually know. I mean, there's not really a lot of fucking intel on what specifically this guy did.
Well, I can't just share that with you, TJ. It's classified, man.
I know.
Look, there's a mountain of evidence out there. You just can't see it. You can't see it, TJ. What do you want them to do?
I mean, I'm not saying that it's not. I mean, like, maybe he did that.
Give TJ the keys to Langley. Let him go look through all the shit.
Yeah. Let me do it,
dude.
No, I mean, like, we can't trust our government. We can't trust the intelligence community. We know this from the lessons of fucking Iraq. So just because the government tells me this guy did all this bad shit, I fucking take that with a grain of salt. Yeah, maybe he did. Maybe he didn't. But until I see the hard evidence that he did, I'm fucking incredulous.
Okay, but also, here, the very principle, it's not like this is like, you know, the Night King from Game of Thrones, where if you kill this guy, it's all like all bad shit in Iran is suddenly gone.
All of his minions fade away in dust.
If that's how it worked, then maybe that would be an effective strategy, but it's like killing this guy is not going to prevent that from happening. So it's a foolish thing to just kill one person. It's not going to solve the problem or change the geopolitical situation.
I'm not pro roadside bomb, but I've got a brilliant military strategy to make sure that Americans are never hit by another roadside
bomb. Let's see if it's the same one as mine.
Okay. General TJ, you go ahead and give us your strategy.
I wanted to hear yours.
Oh, okay, that's fine. Make sure there are no Americans nearby for the roadside bomb to hit.
Wow. You know what? I had the exact same notion.
Stop sending American troops into hostile fucking territory for absolutely no gain.
That's, you know what?
Hey, how about that?
I like that idea.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it's insane, but it just might work.
Troop deaths cut to absolute minimum. You know what I mean?
No, I would say if I was the president and you guys were my generals that came to me with that suggestion, I would say it's a horrible suggestion.
Makes us safer, too.
How are these private companies going to make all that money overseas then? You tell me, Paul. How are those executives going to buy the next Gulfstream
jet? Why don't you answer for safety? Because that's what it's about, right?
No,
making Americans safe.
I'm safe here. I feel
safe. Are you safer if there's only 13,000 troops here domestically? Or are you safer if we bring all those troops home?
I'm safer,
Paul.
Double
that here.
If we're fighting them there, Paul, then we're not fighting them here.
But you know what?
I'm safer, man.
You know what the other thing is, too? Is like, it's not. We got to consider the safety of Lockheed Martin's profits too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are we supposed to do?
What about Halliburton?
We're supposed
Paul?
To leave those poor profits out there in the cold.
Yeah.
Look at the CEO of Halliburton in the eye and tell him, Paul, you don't want him to have billions.
Yeah. What's he supposed
to
eat? Tinned beans for the rest of his life?
What about Boeing? What about these other companies?
Just
Paul?
Gonna put those poor CEOs out on the street?
Please, sir.
Not on
Can
my
I have
watch.
Some more?
Not on my fucking watch.
God bless President Trump.
He was planning new attacks on American targets, but we stopped him.
Yeah, we've solved the problem.
Soleimani's hands were drenched in both American and Iranian blood.
It's like Macbeth can't scrub the blood off the hands.
Terminated long ago.
Should have been terminated.
Y'all terminated. Like what is this?
Dun 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 dun.
I like how Trump.
I need to play that on a kazoo for it to really.
I like how trumped up this bullshit with Trump is, dude. Like pretending like killing this guy is this major statement.
Do we
like,
need to get a kazoo win. Over here so I can like every time we cover Trump, I can play like a really ostentatious, you know, welcoming blast on the horn for him.
The like kazoo, the official instrument of Donald Trump.
The only time he doesn't get it is when he's doing Grandpa Trump stuff. If he's obviously you know, cutting a ribbon or something, he's good.
We have sent a powerful message to terrorists.
So Qasem Soleimani was actually on a diplomatic peace mission when he was killed. At least according to the Iranian government, which I guess you should also take that with a grain of salt.
You can't believe either of these fucking pieces
of course
shit
you
involved
can.
In this.
But, I mean, at least the official story from Iran is he was on a peace mission. And it seems like that was the case. And it actually seems like the American government actually kind of lured him there to
Come
be killed.
Come
on down.
Yeah, peace.
Come on, there's going to be peace. Boom! Ha ha, sucker!
Like, that almost sounds like the scene in like Braveheart where they go like the, you know, the Scottish people go for the peace talks with Edward Longshanks,
yeah.
And then William Wallace runs into that little cabin of the house.
And we told him there was going to be peace. No, look, there's a peace, and there's a peace, and there's a peace of him right over there. There you go.
Yeah, I guess
if you value your own life, you will not threaten the lives of our people. As we continue to evaluate options in response to Iranian aggression.
Yeah, remember those all those Iranians that came to America and killed a bunch of us here in America?
That was tragic, dude, when that happened.
When the Iranian government sent all those soldiers here killed Americans.
Let's not even
on
talk
American
about it.
Soil. That
it's
was
still too fresh.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the pain is too fresh.
Oh, wait, those people were closely aligned with the Saudi government.
Those were all Saudi nationals.
We're fine with them, though. They're good.
Our Saudi allies. No, I mean, they
our
would
allies
never,
in the Middle East.
They would never hurt us. Our Saudi allies who made up most of the 9/11 hijackers, they love us. But these Iranians who, as far as I remember, have never done that and only killed us when we're over there.
Further proving the General Parkey strategy to protect troops' lives.
You guys want to cede control of the Middle East to Iran?
Yes.
That's great.
I do.
Okay, Paul.
I don't care.
So
they can have it.
Then you know what's going to happen next, Paul? Then they're going to be attacking us here, Paul. Then we're fucking hiding behind a bunker, you know, trying not
to
fucking
die. That would be a stupid proposition for them. And I think that there would be less bloodshed in Iran trying to attack us here than us trying to attack them there.
You're a total liar, Paul.
The United States.
You don't want everyone here to be dead.
Will immediately impose additional punishing economic sanctions on the Iranian regime.
Oh, good.
These powerful sanctions will remain until Iran changes its behavior. In recent months alone, Iran has seized ships in international waters.
I love sanctions.
We're going to punish the people that live in this country until their leaders decide to do something.
Yeah, because it's definitely the leaders of the country that are going to have trouble getting fed. And
Ayatollah
like
Khomeini, he's going to have to tighten his belt by a couple of notches,
I'm sure.
He'll
be missing some meals.
It's not going to be the Iranian people. I mean, like, the whole idea is, you know, you destabilize the country and eventually you ferment fucking revolution in the country, which has kind of happened to some extent. So it is
will show those poor Iranian peasants who had nothing to do with any of this ridiculous geopolitical shit what's what by starving them and their children, by making it harder for them to get medicine and things that they need to survive.
Until the Iranian government does what we want.
It's like, fuck.
Provoked strike on Saudi Arabia and shot down two U.S. drones. Iran's hostilities substantially increased after the foolish Iran nuclear deal was signed.
No, it didn't.
It didn't seem like it.
Citation needed.
When did that happen?
So basically what actually happened was Iran, by all accounts but Trump's and his administration's, following the agreement pretty much to the T, and Trump decided
terrible
to pull
deal.
Trump
terrible
decided
deal.
To pull us out of it, and it's pretty much the only explanation I can find for why he pulled us out of it is because Obama did it.
Right.
And he just feels like it's his job and his mandate to undo every single thing Obama did, whether it makes sense or not.
You know what Trump actually also undid, TJ? The light bulb standards.
Yeah.
Moving to those energy efficient, which was actually done under George W. Bush, not Obama. Still undid them. Because look, those light. Look how I'm going to look in the light.
He literally did it
I look orange in these lights.
You look orange no matter what you do.
You look orange because you're wearing a spray tan and 3 inches of pancake makeup.
If you want to look normal, just stop doing that.
Yeah, come out looking like the Nosferatu that you really are.
Yeah, show us your true pasty-ass pigmentation.
Show us all the broken blood vessels on your nose and your weird, craggy-ass face if you want to look normal.
No, I look fantastic, Paul. Look
2013. And they were given $150 billion, not to mention $1.8 billion in cash. Instead of saying thank you to the United States, they chanted death to America. In fact, they chanted death to America the day the agreement was signed.
Well, yeah, it's kind of their catchphrase.
Hey, I mean, well, let's also be fair. If the Iranians bombed and killed some important figure in America, would we just go like, you know, I mean, they killed him, you know, whatever.
They killed
one of our top generals. You know, we'd be like, fuck Iran, bomb them.
I don't know that Iran is capable of doing that, nor would they do it, though. I mean, yeah, if they did it, we'd have to do something in return.
It would be fucking suicide for Iran to attack. I mean, like, it's not like we would suffer no repercussions. I mean, we've seen from our other foreign adventures that, you know, it's not.
Well, I'm just making the point.
It's not easy, but.
I'm just making the point that in either country, you can whip up that nationalistic sentiment and say, of course, if you killed someone that's viewed as a leader in that country, that people are going to go and rally around and say, why did this happen?
I mean, look, Iranians have been trained to hate America for long before that. And I mean, there's pretty good historical reasons why.
Going back to the Shah of Iran,
I mean, can't even think about this because of how disturbing he looks. Just look at him. Look at the makeup job. Look how it just disappears at his temple there.
Yep.
Look how his eyes are clearly just like He just stops doing the makeup. It's so fucking weird that our leader looks like this. He looks like a homeless person.
I noticed this angle, too, blocks the nunt.
Oh, yeah.
Then Iran went block.
On a you got a nunt blocker,
funded
Mike.
Funded by the money from the deal.
Make sure the mic blocks my nunt.
And created hell in Yemen, Syria, Lebanon, Afghanistan, and Iraq.
That was all the...
if you handled Donald Trump an unlabeled map of the world, do you think that he could accurately find any of those places he just met?
No.
I don't think so.
No way.
No.
What do you think the chances that Trump correctly identifies where Yemen is on an unlabeled map?
Zero.
Well, not zero, but maybe 1%.
What do you think of the chances without a briefing that he knows anything about the history of Yemen or the people of Yemen or the government of Yemen?
He did an interview. This doesn't have much to do with Yemen, but he did an interview on the radio back in 2015 where he was asked about... Soleimani and the Quds Force, and he had no idea what they were. He was like, they were like, the Quds Force. He's like, yeah, the Kurds. He's like, no, not the Kurds, the Quds Force.
Oh, yeah. I know what you mean, yeah.
We're going to deal with them.
It's going to be done.
I have the best mine. I have the best deals. We're going to make a great deal with them. Oh, that's Iranians. Oh, never mind. We're going to make the deal was terrible.
He's basically just a zombie up there now. They've trained a zombie to go out and read the teleprompter very slowly.
He was supposed to come out about 25 minutes or so before he actually did, by the way. He was scheduled to come out at 10. That was what the White House said. He's coming out to speak at 10. And it was like 10:20 or 10:25 before got out there.
They got to give him his boost. They got to give him like all his shots and stuff, get him ready.
Yep.
Wheel him out up to that point. Okay, now the walking, you're going to have to do yourself, Mr. President.
Give him another dose of trioxin gas. To make sure that the corpse stays animated, you know what I mean? Oh, he's twitching again. All right, he's ready.
Fired last night at us, and our allies were paid for with the funds made available by the last administration. The regime also greatly tightened the reins on their own country, even recently killing...
Do we need to get Trump the Darth Vader mask? People
at the many
Darth
protests...
Trump.
That are taking place all throughout Iran. The very defective JCPOA expires shortly anyway and gives Iran a clear
JCPOA.
And quick path.
So what do you think the chances are that if you ask Mr. Trump, Mr. Trump, what's JCPOA stand for again, that he knows?
I don't even know. I know it's
I don't know either.
I know it's the Iran deal, but...
I'm just saying, like, he doesn't, what do you think the chances are he knows what he's talking about right now?
Zero.
He can remember what he just talked about and how it relates to what he's currently talking about.
I think he has a vague notion that he wants to go after Iran.
I mean, this is pure pageantry.
Yeah.
Like, literally a speech written by somebody else being really poorly read by a dude that doesn't understand what's in the speech. That's what we're looking at.
S.O.
The JPSOC
terrible agreement
set to expire soon.
Look at this face.
Clear breakout. Iran must abandon its nuclear ambitions and end its support.
And if only there was some kind of deal in place.
If only there was some kind of deal that lifted sanctions so long as they stopped researching their fucking nuclear program in place.
Oh, man, I wish that we had something like
that. Well, the big thing was the uranium enrichment. And that's what we wanted to stop with that deal.
And we did.
And, you know.
And then Trump's like, nah.
I mean, so.
Obama did it. Must be bad.
You know what? If the Obama deal, let's even say the Obama deal was bad for America. The Trump no deal is a disaster for America.
He goes on in this speech. I mean, I don't know if we're. It's
probably not going to cover the whole thing.
I mean, like, he goes on in this speech to say that he's willing to make a new deal with Iran. Which I don't know you had a fucking deal,
so
dumbass.
Is this all about Trump wanting to make a deal so he can say he made the Trump deal?
I'm just waiting for him to make the exact same deal that Obama made, but to suddenly be like, oh, it's a good idea now because I did it.
Knowing Trump, he'll make a worse deal and be like, look, the deal.
Look, I made
better.
A better deal.
It's like, no, you didn't. You made a worse deal. He goes on to say all kinds of crazy shit. I have a huge thread on my Twitter that goes through a lot of the fucking points of this speech, but it's so fucking... I don't think we can get through more of this. I wish we could get to his terrible mispronunciation of tolerates.
Soleimani.
He was like, tolerides!
tolerates.
I tolerates.
But, yeah.
The trioxin was wearing off by that point.
Apparently. So let's move on to this story here. This is a funny story, actually. I mean, it's not funny, but it's kind of funny when you realize the explanation behind it. Iran plane crash. Ukraine deletes statement attributing disaster to engine failure. So there was a passenger plane with about 170 people on it that was taking off from Iran with the destination of the Ukraine that crashed right as all this stuff was kicking off. And there was kind of like, and they're like, oh, it was engine failure. And then there was a lot of speculation. Maybe the U.S. shot it down. Well, now it's looking like the actual explanation is that the Iranian government mistakenly shot the plane down, thinking it was an American attack plane.
Oh, fuck,
wow.
Dude.
So they didn't kill any of our troops.
They just killed a bunch of their own people.
But they did accidentally kill a bunch of their own people and a number of Canadians
as well.
Yeah, they
killed like 63 Canadians.
There was a lot of Canadians on the flight.
Why were there so many Canadians flying out of Tehran?
They probably
to the Ukraine.
Could
have been part of some kind of delegation or something.
Or it could have been like if they don't have a direct flight, so they're going to connect into Ukraine and then fly back to Canada or something.
Oh.
Ukraine's embassy in Iran has appeared to delete a statement suggesting technical problems were to blame for the crash of a passenger jet near Tehran on a Wednesday morning. The statement appeared on to back up earlier assertions by Iranian officials that a faulty engine had led to the accident. But by 10 a.m. local time, the page was no longer accessible from the embassy site with no additional information given about the details of the crash. Later, a new statement appeared at the same web address saying that it was an official commission to determine the cause of the accident. Okay. But all of the top speculation I've seen online is basically saying that Iran probably accidentally shot this plane down, thinking it was an American,
troop
attack plane.
Never
or something.
Fly on any Ukrainian airlines. Dude.
That's a piece of warning that I will never need personally.
Yeah, but I mean, if you needed one, they had the other one that got shot down. They've had this one that allegedly has been shot down.
The fuck are there so many Canadians in Iran in the first place? Like, what are you doing, you moose hunting fucking maple syrup sipping weirdos?
Well, I'm sure a lot of them got asylum.
You're a long way from home.
Iranian Revolution. So
go back to Canada.
Go back to Canada.
Well, until we take it over.
Safe there.
Oh, for now.
It's going to be even safer once we take it over.
Well, that is true.
Anyway, enough about this Iran shit. I'm sorry I have a sick child, Philly robber writes in demand note.
Just empty the registers for this guy and send him on his way, huh?
A man who robbed a West Oak Lane store on Friday using a demand note claimed he was doing so in part because he has a sick child, according to Philadelphia police. The case echoes a similar robbery of a smoke shop in Busselton last year, during which a man claimed he was robbing the store because his daughter needed a transplant. In the latest case, the man walked into a Rite Aid on the 7400 block of Ogontz Avenue shortly before noon, and after pretending he was going to make a purchase, approached the cashier and handed her a note. According to police, the note read in part, "Give me all the money. I'm sorry. I have a sick child. You have 15 seconds."
I mean, it seems kind of implausible. Reason he'd be doing it.
Why would you throw that in there otherwise?
Because a lot of people want sympathy.
But why are you really? I mean, like, if you're gonna go rob a store, like, sympathy isn't really a necessary component of give me all the money in the fucking register.
Well, you might not want to use violence. You might want to just try to say, "Hey, look, give me this stuff," and then like say you have 15 seconds. It's kind of like a vague.
I mean,
threat.
That's obviously a threat of violence.
I mean, there's got to be some threat.
Yeah.
If you're robbing a place, the implication is if you don't give me the shit.
Well, dude, it's really common for a lot of people, especially in these choosing beggar types. They'll use that, like, "I have a sick child," So it's a really common tactic for kind of scummy people an attempt at pulling your heartstrings. So this cashier might just be like, "Oh, I feel bad for this person. They're threatening me, so I'll just give them the money."
Police did not detail how much cash the man took from the store. He did not flash a weapon. The suspect was described as thin, about 5'10", between 30 and 40 years of age. He had a mustache, a gray hoodie, a baseball cap, black gloves, and glasses. In a similar case on July 8th, an armed man walked into the One Stop Smoke Shop in Very Road near Red Lion Road in Busselton and forced a saleswoman to open the cash register at gunpoint. The suspect took money from the register but then had a change of heart and said, "You know what? I'm not going to do it to you." It's not going to help my daughter's transplant, and return the cash to the register before running away, according to authorities.
Now that's a little bit more believable, having like a change of heart or something like that.
It remains unclear whether either robber was telling the truth about having a sick child.
Because they haven't caught the guy.
I mean, he could. I'm not saying it's impossible, but...
Dude, the cops have got better things to do. It just proves it. You know what I mean? Like, the cops could be going out. There's this guy roaming around, and they're busting people for smoking weed on the street corner and shit. Like, why aren't we focusing our police on this? This dude's still running around. He walks into places and robs two places, and he's just wandering the streets somewhere in town.
Well, I think he was a different guy than the guy who robbed the smoke shop.
There's a video of it.
Get the shit.
So let's see what this guy does.
Go get him.
Let's see.
Looking around.
Hands the note.
What is the note?
Okay, there's the note.
There's the note.
Yeah, he's got the note.
Have a fucking note.
So he bought some stuff, too?
We act like he was going to buy some stuff.
I think he was just there to pretend to buy something so that he could, do this little thing with the note here. Give me the money.
Yep, it's like, give me the money. You got the note. He's pushing it back. Like, I ain't buying
that. I don't want that shit.
He's probably telling
money.
Her to just put the money in there. Put the money in the shopping bag.
Yeah,
yo.
Yep. That makes sense.
There you go. Stuff it in there. Thank you very much.
Have a nice day.
Transaction complete.
He's like, wait a minute. You got more money? Give me more money.
Yep. Here's another 20.
Bye.
That was like the most nonchalant robbery ever.
Here he's leaving. Let's see.
Yep. Here's him going. See ya.
She's like, all right, I'm going. I'll see you later.
Yep. I got the money. I'm good.
Just sauntering out.
Just saunters on out.
It's a perfect crime.
Well, most of these places just tell people, like, don't even fight with them. Just give them the money. So, I mean, the guy probably just realized that. No one was there. Walked in. Basically robbed the place and just walked out. I mean, I guess at least he didn't flash a gun or threaten anyone's life. So, I mean, you give him that, but he's still
stealing.
I
mean, when you say you have 15 seconds, I think it's implied.
Well, no, that's a threat.
There's like an or else you're going to be,
no, I'm not saying you should walk free. I mean, definitely, but I'm just saying, like, at least there's, I mean, he probably didn't even have a weapon.
If this dude really does have a sick child somewhere, you know, does that,
That doesn't justify him.
I mean, I don't think it justifies it.
Or threatening someone else.
But, I mean, like, you create desperate, you know, situations. Well, people resort to desperate measures.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the whole thing with, Les Miserables. You know, it's like going through the window for the loaf of bread because you're starving to death. I mean, of course, if you put someone in a desperate enough situation, they're going to do whatever the fuck they need to do.
Harvey Weinstein rebuked by judge for using phone in court.
Wait a minute, did Scotty just say Les Miserables?
Yeah.
Les Miserables.
I guess I did.
The Miserables, dude.
Miserables.
I had to chew on that one for about 20 seconds.
No,
like,
I did.
Say, what?
I did. No, I did, actually.
What is the proper pronunciation, Paul?
Les Miserables.
Les Miserables.
Yeah, whatever, it's French.
Yeah, French sucks anyway. A judge has angrily threatened to lock up Harvey Weinstein for using his phone in a New York City court where a jury is being picked for his rape trial. Is this really the way you want to end? Is this really the way you want to end up in jail for the rest of your life by texting and violating a court order? Asked Judge James Burke. The Manhattan judge instructed the former Hollywood producer, who is out on bail, not to answer the question. Mr. Weinstein faces 5 charges and possibly life in jail if convicted. The allegations of include rape and predatory sexual assault relating to 2 unnamed accusers. He is charged with raping one woman in a Manhattan hotel room in 2013 and performing a forcible sex act on another woman in 2006. On Monday, Mr. Weinstein was charged with an additional 2 counts in Los Angeles, rape and sexual assault. The 67-year-old has denied all charges and insists any sexual encounters were consensual. Mr. Weinstein was caught using 2 mobile phones on Tuesday, according to local media. He had already been admonished by Judge Burke at previous court appearances for using a handset. What did I say would happen if he so much has a cell phone or electronic device, since there have been repeated violations of this, including some on the record? Judge Burke said, I believe you said remand, Mr. Weinstein's lawyer replied after a heated exchange, meaning to put his client in jail. Lead prosecutor Joan Eluzi, urged Judge Burke to jail Mr. Weinstein, who is out on $5 million bail. He is required to wear an electronic tracking device. There is a grave risk that this defendant at some point will realize that the evidence against him is imposing and overwhelming, and he will try to escape, Mrs. Eluzi said. Judge Burke ultimately declined to revoke Mr. Weinstein's bail, but told the former movie mogul he would not get any further warning. I'm not looking for apologies, Judge Burke said. I'm looking for compliance.
Dude, there's a big thing about Harvey Weinstein, too. They're, like, you know, he's coming in on this walker. Mm-hmm. Like, they've showed other pictures of him, like recently, where he's just walking around normally. So
right.
He's just trying to get that when the paparazzi.
Yeah, I think you see him in the walker.
Yeah, in the picture.
Up here in this picture here. He's like, oh.
I can barely walk.
Can't walk. Oh, I'm so old. I'm so infirm and weak.
I'm barely alive anymore. You don't want to do this to
There's
an
no
old
point
man,
in even sending me to jail because I'm on death's door as it is.
He's just the new Bill Cosby with this shit, dude. He'll fight this for years and years and years.
Oh, so weak. So old.
I mean, it's pretty unlikely he's not going to end up in fucking jail.
Like, I don't know anybody else who would get away with texting in the courtroom when they're not supposed to even have a fucking phone because they're out on bail.
Yeah, but that court does not want to,
Why?
They don't want to turn, because they want that fucking, they want all that fucking huge bail that he paid. They love that. I mean, like, they're going to,
If you violate your bail, you don't get...
This court system.
You don't get the bail money back.
Yeah, but he's so rich. They can argue every aspect of this case, and they're going to fully do it. And they're going to. I mean, like, look, this
you have
is not
any idea?
Quick.
You have any idea how much the fucking legal system is going to fucking suck out of this dude?
Oh.
I mean, his lawyers are getting rich. I mean, everybody in this process is getting rich.
Yeah.
Except for him. He's losing a bunch of money. But that's the thing. He's got money to burn, so the rules are different for him. Everyone knows that there's two justice systems in this country. I mean, really, there's probably more like three or four, but there's definitely another tier of the justice system that people like Harvey Weinstein get.
If a normal person was facing these charges, they'd probably be locked up.
Oh, he'd be locked up for sure.
You know, so I mean, like, there's unquestionably, he has his freedom. He has the ability to fight this. Let's say he loses this case.
And it's not just bail. They keep slapping him with little fines and shit, too.
But he can also appeal this ruling, and he'll stay out the whole time. He'll appeal it again, and then finally have to go to the Supreme Court. Okay, we're not going to hear your case. I mean, Harvey Weinstein might be out of jail for another 3 to 4 years before he even has the possibility of going to prison.
I mean, like, you know, when you're at this level, you can afford the best lawyers in the country that know every little fucking, you know, thing that they can do
legally
to slow down the process. I mean, like... You know, you just get a better fuck. I mean, like, not only does the money ensure that you can pretty much pay any court fine or bail or whatever the hell you need to do to keep yourself out of jail, you can also make sure your lawyers can hold up the process as long as possible. You know,
and there's that scene in Scarface where he's talking to his lawyer when he gets caught red-handed laundering money.
Yeah.
And his lawyer's like, you know, you won't even go to trial for 3 years. You know what I mean? We'll delay it for 3 years, and you'll serve a year and a half, you know, with time served and everything. So, yeah, I mean, just because he's able to throw as much money as possible at it.
Yeah. And by the way, when I talk about this different standard of justice for Harvey Weinstein, I think it's important to note that I think that everyone should have that standard of justice. I think that, you know, when I talk about, oh, the rich have this different system that's way more lenient and flexible, I think that should be the system for everybody, not the other way around. I don't feel like it needs to be harsher for him. I think it needs to be more fair and equitable to everyone else.
Well, but if that happened, though, then Harvey Weinstein would be treated like everyone else.
Right.
We can't have that.
Exactly.
We can't have that.
I know.
Can't be.
I know that when you say these kind of things about the inequalities in the justice system, people are like, yeah, he should be treated more harshly. It's like,
no.
I'm saying the opposite. I'm saying everyone else should be treated like the way he is being treated, because it's a serious thing to be accused of a crime, and you should have a robust and powerful defense, which is you know, arguably guaranteed in the Constitution.
And if you're guilty, the evidence will bear that out.
Police contradict claims spread online exaggerating arson's role in Australia bushfires.
You know what, dude?
So, Paul, you actually encountered this argument on a Hideology the other day, I believe.
Yeah, really? Yeah. Somebody came in, a couple of people came in and were just like, yeah, we're not even going to say anything about how arsonists lit all those bushfires in Australia. And it's just totally fucking false, apparently.
So a misleading figure suggesting 183 arsonists have been arrested since the start of the bushfire season spread across the globe on Wednesday after initial reports in News Corp were picked up by Donald Trump Jr., U.S. far-right websites, and popular alt-right personalities.
And ask yourself this question.
Yeah.
Why is this a popular false narrative coming out of the right?
Because they don't want to admit that climate change...
Right, but it's stupid.
Yeah, it's
even if these people were lighting these fires...
Yeah, even if this was true.
Even if there were 138 just random arsonists that decided they wanted to burn Australia, it's climate change that created the fucking, environmental conditions that allow this type of shit to happen. It's climate change that has given them 4 years of unabated drought. It's climate change that's causing these wind storms and shit, this unseasonal dryness. All of that shit is climate change.
Remember last
week. So it's a self-defeating fucking stupid argument, despite the fact that it's false on the face of it.
Remember last week we looked at a chart and it showed that it was like Eastern Africa and Southeast Asia was going to get wetter, and that part of Australia was, because of climate change, was going to get much drier, and that's obviously been bared out. And yeah, I mean, obviously, look, there have been people who've started fires, like there's massive fires started in California that there was an arsonist behind it. But I mean, like, just because that happened, you need those super dry land conditions. You need the land not being cleared. You need all these things to happen in order for these events to be as critical as they are. And look, I mean, they're all over the country. There are even places where there was no arson at play. So, I mean, you're exactly right.
Well, let me just read this statement from the police spokesman.
Okay.
There is currently no intelligence to indicate that the fires in East Gippsland and the Northeast have been caused by arson or any other suspicious behavior, a Victoria Police spokeswoman said. The reported figure of 183 also includes 101 individuals from Queensland who were picked up for setting fires in the bush, but a Queensland police spokeswoman said the figure included a broader range of offenses than arson, including the breaching of total fire bans, and was not a total of arrests, but a total of police enforcement actions.
This is the number of people that violated a no-burn day, not the total number of people that literally went out and started wildfires.
Yeah, correct. There's a burn ban, and something that can be as simple as starting to, you have a fire pit and starting a fire in your backyard and going, woo!
Yeah, some bogan is out there fucking burning some scrub in his backyard or something and gets cited for it.
Yep, essentially.
Because, of course, the conditions are very conducive right now to giant fires, which we're seeing all over the fucking country.
Bots and trolls spread these claims,
I want you guys to also just see what's going on with these fires right now. This is a video I saw a few days ago that I thought was just insane. Now, we talked recently about Sky. You have something to say?
I was going to say that it also said that it was being spread by bots and trolls, which we covered those hoaxes and basically people making shit up, how easily shit spread online, because it gives you an answer.
In this post-truth era, reality has just become a choose-your-own-adventure.
But also gives you a clear-cut answer. If you're someone that's like, why are all these fires happening? It's like, a bunch of assholes started the fires. That's something you can understand.
Anyway, so here is... Paul, you recently did an episode on... obscure natural disasters, and one of them was the firestorm.
Yep.
And we talked about what a firestorm literally is, and it wasn't but a few days later that I saw this video of
a firestorm.
This is firestorm rains down on firefighters in NSW, which is New South Wales.
Bushfires across New South Wales that have flared dramatically across parts of the state overnight.
This video
is crazy. Pictures into the newsroom show a firestorm raining down on crews battling to protect homes on the outskirts of Sydney. Huge walls of flames.
So you see that fire over there?
Yeah.
It's going to move quickly.
Look at it. It's just coming.
Near the Warragamba Dam.
The bushfire flared to emergency level late yesterday, fueled by strong winds.
In no time at all, just engulfs that that truck.
Oh, damn. So they've got a fucking flea on foot.
They're running.
They can't even get back in their vehicle.
If you actually hear the audio of the video, you hear them screaming, run, run.
That's what he needs to do. He's 100% right. And those fires can move so quick that could even be ineffective. They could just be engulfed by flames.
So,
it's insane.
I mean, absolutely crazy, and... I have some friends and some fans and stuff in Australia who have been dealing with the conditions there, and it's fucking...
And the smoke, I mean, just everything that those fires were producing, it's just crazy.
Yeah, there's a friend of mine who, his mom already has respiratory problems, and they're in that Australia area, and, like, she's perpetually sick now because there's just so much smoke in the air.
Well, that happened to my mom during the wildfires in California.
Right, exactly.
She was sick for, like, a year. because the air was just so bad in the valley from all the fucking wildfires.
Yeah. That's crazy. What's going on? But anyway, I don't remember what the conditions were, but there was a month or two ago, maybe a little longer, give or take. You know, I'm bad with time, but we were trying to figure out who the oldest person in the world was, and interestingly enough, the answer has come to us. It's this woman in Japan. Japanese woman turns 117 years old.
Whoa.
Extends record as world's oldest person. Let's see if they'll play without doing some horrible ad.
Nope.
Yes, it actually did.
Cool. Look at her.
I really hope I don't live to be 117.
I don't know. She looks pretty stoked.
I suspect I won't, but...
I don't even know what the fuck is going on, nor do I care. All right,
this music is terrible. I'm going to go ahead and stop that.
She looks pretty stoked about it.
Yeah, she doesn't look too bad, I guess, for 117.
I'm not sure she knows what's going on, but...
Yeah, but it doesn't look like she's having a bad time of it, you know?
Yeah, she's at the old folks' home, but that's
cool.
If
I could be this kind of 117, I'd go with it.
Is it tasty?
Look, people are feeding her stuff.
It's tasty.
More. That's awesome.
Yeah, gimme.
She's like, yeah, I like it.
That's Give me that big ass bite of that. Yeah, I'd be fine with being this kind of 117.
Kane Tanaka has extended her record as the world's oldest person by celebrating her 117th birthday at a nursing home in Fukuoka. Fukuoka in southern Japan. Tanaka marked her birthday with a party on Sunday, along with staff and friends at the nursing home. Television footage from local broadcaster TVQ Kyushu Broadcasting Company showed. Tanaka, whose birthday was on January 2nd, took a bite from a slice of her big birthday cake. Tasty, she said with a smile, I want some more. Tanaka was last year confirmed as the oldest living person, age 116 years, 66 days old, as of March 9th, according to Guinness World Records. Tanaka's record age is symbolic of Japan's fast-aging population, which, coupled with its falling birth rate, is raising concerns about labor shortages and prospects for future economic growth. The number of babies born in Japan fell an estimated 5.9% last year to fewer than 900,000 for the first time since the government started compiling data
that
in 1899, according to Japan's welfare ministry.
Japan's population in 1899 was way smaller than it is today.
Tanaka was born prematurely in 1903 and married Hideo Tanaka in 1922, Guinness Records state. The couple had four children and adopted a fifth. But apparently none of those children give a shit about her anymore.
Maybe they're all dead of old age.
They might all be dead.
So
she's 117. That's extraordinary.
Because it doesn't say any family was there to mark the
occasion. Well, I don't know. They have people staying around her. They might be her grandchildren or something.
Well, it says specifically friends and staff. So
okay.
I'm assuming that that whatever family she has is either dead or doesn't give a fuck at this point because they're just, yeah, my great-great-great-great-great-grandma turned 117. I don't know. But anyway, that kind of concludes the pleb section of the show.
Get out of here, plebs.
So
shoo.
So one of the things that some patrons have been getting mad about is us doing this little push in the middle of the show.
Oh, spoiling what's coming up?
Yeah. So to those people, I say, fuck you. Because what are you asking us to do? You're shooting your own self in the foot with that stupid shit. Because think about it. We could do one show and then cut the beginning and put it up. Or if you want us to, like, literally cut it out for you, then we have to do two different cuts of the fucking show, right? We have to go through it. We have to do one cut that's just the beginning part. Then we have to do another cut that's everything minus the fucking push to the plebs. So it's going to it would take, like, hours longer to get you the content, also that you could be spared 2 minutes of us going, here's what's coming up next. So fuck you, patrons who are saying that. But fuck you even more to you plebs who aren't going to get what's coming up next.
Now, you better retract that fuck you to the patrons, TJ.
I'm fucking to the patrons.
Retract
who,
that fuck
to
you the
patrons,
patrons
who complain
right now.
About
nope,
this.
They're allowed.
Them.
They pay to complain.
Yep, TJ.
They paid their complainer fee.
Apologize
fuck
immediately.
Them.
No.
You know what, TJ? You're a horrible person.
So we got a trailer. We got a few trailers here, which we're going to start taking a look at for some terrible movies that are probably going to make Paul's head spin.
Sweet.
What if he likes them, dude?
Maybe like literally spin.
Literally,
like
Ball is gonna love this.
We got some Gwyneth Paltrow bullshit. We got some Justin Bieber bullshit. We got some Bill Gates bullshit. We got some Bernie Sanders bullshit. We got some violent soccer match bullshit. We got some drug shit. We got a crazy bitch's fucking weird right wing prayer that is gonna blow your fucking mind.
Cool.
We got
a pledge allegiance to baby Jesus.
McConnell shit, and we got some new impossible food pork that we're gonna talk about.
Whoa!
So that's what's coming up, but it's only for patrons. So you plebs, you don't get none.
See yourselves out.
See yourselves out of here.
You only get one serving.
Be a fucking man or a woman and fucking sign up for that Patreon.
Quit or an other, TJ.
Or an other.
Come on, TJ. Don't discriminate.
That's true. I'm sorry,
Scotty. Race identities.
You're right. I apologize.
Deep bad pride. Deep bad pride.